With everyone fighting for attention, how can your business stand out and connect with customers? Easy, with Constant Contact. Constant Contact's award-winning marketplace platform has helped millions of small businesses stand out, stay top of mind, and see big results fast. It's okay if you don't know much about marketing. Constant Contact's writing assistant tools and automation features help you craft messaging and say the right things at the right time. I use this to help write and send my email newsletters, and you should too. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Just go to ConstantContact.com right now. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall. ConstantContact.com.
The Fantasy Football Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New York, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. From boosted same-game parlays to live in-game odds, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today and bet 100 and get 100 at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. State restrictions apply. And welcome into the Fantasy Football Podcast presented by the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. I'm your host, Justin Bruni. Joining me as always is Mr. Andrew TD King. Rob, how we doing, boss?
Good, man. Excited to be here. Talk a little QB reviews, QB previews a little bit, maybe, you know, for this year. And, you know, maybe we'll sprinkle in some other stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Excited for the championship games this week. AFC and NFC championships. Going to be nice. We're coming down to the wire here. We'll have this weekend our little reprieve and then on to the Super Bowl. So very excited or exciting stuff going on in the NFL. And, you know, we're going to be here along the way to, you know, keep the fantasy football conversation going. And if you haven't seen already, we've got a ton of dynasty content. Shout out to Dave, Brad, and Emerson for pumping all that out right now. Everything's flowing over here at SGPN, so be sure to dive into all of our content. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com, smash the fantasy tab. We've got all the good stuff for you. And, of course, if you're a diehard fantasy fan, you're playing Dynasty, we've got a lot of good stuff in there for you. So be sure to go check out their stuff as well. They're absolutely killing it right now. Tonight, yeah, you know, our reviews on quarterbacks, they're not going to be as friendly, I feel like. You know, the top 11 or 12 that we had were, you know, well, they're top guys in the NFL. You know, they were getting some good word of mouth, we'll say, right? We were enjoying their product this season. Some of these names, you know, they had some bright spots this season, but maybe, you know, not so consistent. So let's lead off here. First up, just lost this last week, Dan Jones. I was a believer. I thought the Giants were going to pull it out. Maybe it's just because I just don't like the Eagles. I don't know what it is, but yeah, maybe a little, you know, personal bias came into that pick. Lost a little bit of money there. No big deal. Couldn't have lost as much as our boss, Ryan Kramer. He finished as, I believe, quarterback 12, 13, depending on your format. What's your review or rating of him this season?
So he obviously, for his value, was very valuable, you know, where he was drafted. His ADP mm-hmm. was well down. You know, he was probably somewhere, what, maybe QB...
Not a popular pick, no.
Yeah, maybe QB 18, somewhere in there, probably. I mean, he was pretty far down there, you know, beginning of draft season. So I think for his value or for his pick where he was going in ADP, he was very valuable. Obviously, he overperformed. He was top 10 QB in points per game basis as well. So, yeah, I think Dan Jones actually did pretty well, and he did all that with, you know, a dog shit wide receiving core. I mean, a wide receiving core that has a man that they're paying a boatload of money to that didn't catch, like, a pass all season long. Like, it's
more of a team mascot, Kenny Galladay, at this point. He's just kind of a guy. He's like a player coach, if you will, you know? And, you know, he's like, hey, guy, good route, but let me show you how you could do it and get hurt and still get paid.
Yeah, I think they would have rather paid the real Kenny G to be on the sidelines playing that sweet jazz. So, you know, it was pretty incredible what he did, you know, and I don't like to say that as a Washington fan. Like, I don't want to talk well about any of the other NFC East teams. But, yeah, I mean, he definitely overperformed what he should have done with what he has. Obviously, sure. Saquon helped out with that as well. But I mean, yeah, he did pretty well. I mean, if we're giving him 1 out of 5 stars, I mean, I probably give him a 4.25, honestly, you know, based off of where you drafted him and what he gave you.
Yeah, I was thinking somewhere around 4 because, again, you know, especially like in a super flex league, like this was a guy that could have been taken as, you know, he may have been as high as 18, but I think in a lot of leagues he was being drafted over quarterback 20. you know, because people get excited about, you know, like a Kenny Pickett or a Willis or somebody like that, where they think like, oh yeah, this guy's going to come in and take off. And they're like, I'll throw a dart with him over a guy in Daniel Jones, who's just been, you know, throughout his career, pretty boring, you know, not a very high ceiling there. Finished this year very, very well, very, very strong. Let me pull up some of his numbers here. Was it 15 passing touchdowns? I don't have his total interceptions, but he also had 7 rushing touchdowns and 708 rushing yards. That puts him at number 5. You know, it went Justin Fields, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Hurts, and then Dan Jones. So, yeah, about number 5 there. So that's nice to see. You know, everyone always keeps saying like, oh, you know, he's a running quarterback, he can add that into his game. And he was able to kind of, you know, prove that this season. But Brian Daboll has said, you know, may not be committed to Daniel Jones long term. What do we think about Daniel Jones' prospects elsewhere in the league? Is there any NFL teams in particular you think he may fit well?
I mean, of course, I heard the people talking about him potentially being a Washington Commander, but I really don't see that happening. I mean, I don't think the Giants want that. And honestly, I think Washington has enough bad luck that they don't need to bring in somebody else that probably wouldn't be a good fit in here either. I'm trying to think where he would make sense to go. I guess for the style of play, Atlanta would be interesting. I think that they like having a running quarterback. Mm-hmm. Not sure how they feel about, oh my God, his name escapes me. The rookie they drafted. Oh my God. I forget what his name is now.
It's not coming to me either, but, I'll tell you here in a minute.
Yeah. Goodness gracious. Let's see. So Atlanta would be interesting just because of their scheme. I guess if Baltimore moves on from Lamar, they could go ahead and, you know, potentially kick the tires on Dan Jones as well.
Matt Corral, sorry. I didn't know that either. It didn't come to me.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm really not sure, man. Honestly, I think his best fit is in New York. I mean, a year under his belt with Daboll, you know, that's a good sign. Performed very well, you know, and again, with a crappy wide receiving core. So I think, honestly, staying there and just not taking a mega deal is probably going to be his best option, as well as Daboll. I mean, does Daboll really want to start with another quarterback? He already has the rapport now with Jones. You know, he's taught Jones the offense now. So I think as long as they get Jones some wide receiver help, you know, maybe a good tight end as well, I think that they could actually be, you know, a fairly decent team. And I think, you know, Dan Jones would be viable again for fantasy. And I think, honestly, he'd probably be, if they keep him and get him more weapons, I honestly see him probably still being a back end quarterback one, you know, come draft season. So yeah, I think his best option is New York, but there's other options he could fit, but you know, best suited there in the old Big Apple.
I agree. We've seen, and it may just be because we've seen a lot of them there, but
it's Ritter, really, by the way, right?
No, it was Matt Corral. Desmond Ritter is the backup, or was the backup in Atlanta. Is that who I thought you were asking about Carolina.
Oh, no, no. Yep.
I was going to say the Texans, you know, I feel like that could be a place where they have the ability to pay him a good amount of money. And it might just be like, you know, hey, we want somebody other than Davis Mills. This isn't an attractive market, you know, maybe come in and sign a 2-year, 3-year deal. And, you know, if he can make something happen, who knows? I mean, they had a pretty good defense last year. The offense just completely stagnant. I know that we were all pretty, you know, hyping him up and excited for him this past offseason. Didn't quite get it done. Could see the Texans. Could be the Colts, I feel like. I think that'd be another good one if they miss out on maybe like an Aaron Rodgers sweepstakes, or dare I say Jimmy Garoppolo. I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo would be a nice fit in Indy as well. But I don't think, you know, I don't think there's a market for the Raiders, the Jets. Atlanta is interesting. And the Saints are interesting as well. It really just depends on, you know, who goes shopping for the big guy, you know, and has to come home with, you know, the leftover scraps. You know, that's kind of the way that I see it. Speaking of one of the big guys, let's move on. We both had Dan Jones at 4 stars or more, you at 4.25. I'm keeping it simple to 4 even with Dan Jones. And again, it's based on ADP. No one had this expectation for him to finish inside the top 12 QB1. So yeah, absolutely a 4-star play there from him. Aaron Rodgers, however, I cannot agree at a 4-star rate. I'm going to have to go, man, dare I say 2.5? I mean, I don't know if he was throwing for 2 touchdowns most weeks, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I think it's, I forget how many weeks it was that he went without being a QB one. I think it was like 90 or 92% of the season, he did not finish as a QB one.
So, yeah, it was from weeks 13 through 18. He only threw a max of one passing touchdown per game. There was a stretch from week two to week eight where he only missed that mark just once. So, yeah, pretty average, definitely below what you're expecting from him. You know, I feel like this is going to be a situation where he's going to play everything very close to the chest. He's probably not asking for a trade or requesting a trade right now, but I feel like the writing's on the wall based off of the conversations from last offseason, what we actually saw this year, you know, seeing him without Davante Adams, seeing, I just feel like this team was always lacking an identity on offense. Are we running? Are we passing a lot? I mean, there are some nice pieces up and coming there, i.e., you know, Christian Watson, AJ Dillon, but I just don't know if it's enough. And I feel like the team at this point is probably going to be ready to move on from him. What is it? 3,695 passing yards this season. Not terrible. I don't know. Where's this completion percentage? I thought I had it up here. It was 350 out of 442, whatever that comes to. Just not very impressive. Not the same efficient Aaron Rodgers either. Where do you think that he might be a good landing spot, and what's your grade on him this season? Yeah, 12 interceptions this year.
Man, yeah, he's pretty low down there. I mean, he's about like 2.75, maybe somewhere in there. I mean, he's just didn't have a good year. You know, you can't qualify him as a good quarterback this year when he's finishing consistently outside of QB1 status. I mean, that's just, you know, that's a pretty good way to judge a quarterback, you know, if he's, because obviously, you know, a lot of the leagues that we are in are 12 team leagues majority of the time. If you're running out a quarterback that's not even finishing as a top 12 guy, that means that you are definitely behind the eight ball, you know, in your matchup normally. So yeah, definitely like 2.75. You know, I'm not even sure that Aaron Rodgers is going to stay in Green Bay this year. You know, he could be on the move. We just saw Nathaniel Hackett get a job over with the Jets. Obviously there's rumblings of Aaron Rodgers going to the Jets as well. So that's potential, you know, there, but you know, I think for the sake of this, let's just say that he stays on Green Bay. If they don't get him any more help, if he's running out there with the exact same weapons that he has this year, I don't see this case getting any better. I mean, he just doesn't have the playmakers. He has, you know, two good rookies in Watson and
Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, Romeo Doubs, thank you. And
Doubs, yeah, my bad.
Yeah, I just, unless they get him some help or upgrade, I do think Darren Waller's going to be hitting the streets this year potentially. You know, that's a rumbling out there. The Packers originally tried to get him in the Davante Adams trade. Maybe if he leaves and goes to Green Bay, and, you know, I mean, we saw Aaron Rodgers have success with tight ends before. So, you know, if he stays there and they get him a little bit of help, I think he'll be, you know, again, a QB1 status. But if that don't happen, I mean, I'll be steering far, far, far away from Aaron Rodgers, you know, come draft season, because he's just not going to be worth it. And on name base alone, he'll still be drafted as the top 12 to 14, you know, quarterback. So
what do you think about if they go out and target like a DeAndre Hopkins? Not that Hopkins wants to spend any more time than he has to in Green Bay. He's played in Houston and Arizona. So, I mean, pretty nice weather both places, both Oslo and domes. But, I mean, I feel like that's what it's going to take, though. Like, they're going to have to target somebody big in free agency or in a trade. And it felt like they were a little bit more active this past deadline than they were in the offseason and in previous years. So maybe there's something there to that. But I don't know. I just feel like the relationship is super fractured. There's always this kind of like backhanded commentary coming from both sides, you know, the Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And of course, Aaron Rodgers, he's got his, you know, big platform to stand on with the Pat McAfee show. So you pretty much always know what he's thinking, right? And I feel like, you know, if you kind of followed him, you know, through the season, you know, on that platform, you kind of saw, you know, obviously, you know, the highs and lows of the season, but at the very back end of the year, I definitely felt like there was a little bit more embrace, because he was kind of like trying to, like, you know, rally the boys, you know, kind of feel the moment and make a run for the playoffs, but they didn't make it. It didn't happen, you know, door shut. So I don't know. I feel like the Jets would be a good one for sure. Also the Colts, who I had already mentioned, potentially for Dan Jones, you know, there's the Pat McAfee connection there. I have to imagine that he will be, you know, he'll be calling him out in those interviews for sure. Like, hey, man, you're going to come down to the Colts or what? I know they were trying to make it happen the previous offseason. There was that big thing between Adam Schefter and Dan Orlovsky on the Pat McAfee show about Aaron Rodgers going wherever he wants or going to the Colts. All right. I had him at three. What was your number? What was your review?
2.75.
Damn. Maybe I'm too high. Oh, okay. What did Brad say in the chat? He's playing some COD.
Yeah, he said maybe he'll run into Kyler.
Don't die. Don't die. Kyler's coming up, though. We got him coming up here. All right. Yeah, next man up here. Let's see who we got. Mr. Tua Tagovailoa. Man. I mean, I got to imagine he's going to play football again next year. I think, you know, those conversations may be a little bit much. Are you excited about owning Tua for next year? I mean, I kind of feel like, as far as like the review goes, like in my opinion, he played better than what I expected. But, you know, there were a lot of people that were high on him this season. He was not a top 10 quarterback, in my opinion. When healthy, he played at that level, though. I mean, I kind of take that one on the chin from last offseason. But I give him a 3.5, I guess. You know, you got to stay healthy at some point. But concussions are concussions. It's not like you can take an aspirin for that, you know. So,
yeah. Yeah, he had, I mean, a fantastic run there for a while. I mean, he had those games where he's putting up, you know, five touchdowns
in week two.
Yeah, six touchdowns.
Six. Like, yeah, he did good.
Like, obviously, you know, if you're playing at that level and getting that success in a game, I mean, obviously you have to be somewhat relevant in fantasy, you know, for the rest of the year, mm-hmm. barring injuries, of course. And unfortunately, that's what, you know, came and snake bit Tua was these injuries. So, I mean, I think you're right on. I think I'm going to give him about a 3.5 here for the season. If he would have stayed healthy, I mean, you know, man, he was just so good in this offense. I think it's the scheme. Obviously, you know, just what Mike McDaniels was able to do with his skill position players and put them in the position for Tua to make them successful and for them to help Tua succeed. You know, I think that this is probably his fit, right? Like, I don't think he's going too many places and having the success. So I think if I was Tua, I would be doing everything I can to stay on this team so I can continue to play football, because I'm not sure there's a lot of other teams that are really going to take, you know, the risk of bringing him on the team. I mean, again, we've seen what happens with his concussions. You know, he's already kind of on the wrong side of all these concussion numbers. So we'll see, you know, what happens with him. But honestly, you know, again, 3.5, I think is a fair evaluation of him. And I do think he had a bunch of good games. I mean, he had a good run, but there was times too that he couldn't get Tyreek Hill the ball. I mean, Tyreek Hill was running like 50-yard hitches, like it just insane. So, you know, if he can work on that a little bit and they can work on the timing, I think Tua can be a good quarterback next year as well. But if he moves on from Miami, I'm going to have a literal 0% interest, you know, in Tua next year if he's not on Miami.
Yeah, I mean, as far as like startups go, I think that you're going to get him at a more affordable cost for sure, especially in some dynasty formats, super flex formats, etc. You know, I'm not going to be as, you know, adverse to taking him. You know, if I can get him at a decent value as like my second or my bench QB, I do get a little bit bullish on a QB sometimes in super flex formats. So yeah, if I'm in a situation like that, I won't be feeling too bad. But you know, yeah, if he were to leave Miami, that would absolutely tank his value. The situation there feels really good with McDaniels. I feel like he passed the eye test for them to just, you know, keep moving forward with him as long as he, you know, stays healthy, of course. But this is still a team where they need to go after like a, you know, someone that can stand tall behind him. Like, don't be surprised if we see Jacoby Brissett back down in Miami. You know what I mean? You know, some aged veteran that's going to need a chance, maybe like an Andy Dalton, you know, if he moves
or
on.
Or Tom Brady. He was down visiting that private school down in Miami.
Well, I don't know the entire intricacies of their relationship, but I thought Tom was, you know, Tampa side and Giselle took Miami. You know, they divided the state, you know, like in the divorce, you know. I thought that's what was happening. So, and yeah, let me tell you, Tom's kids are going to private school. Okay. Like, let's be real. Like, he probably has to pick out a couple, you know. But there was rumblings that he was going to go there before McDaniels was even there. Right. So, I mean, that's always been a thing. When it comes to Tom Brady, I don't feel like he's going to the Raiders. It could be crazy. I feel like the man wants to play indoors. And now that he's single, I think Vegas might suit him pretty well. I'm just, you know.
Yeah, but you know, they say what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. But if you live there, that shit stays with you the entire time. So,
you know. I mean, just ask Henry Ruggs. Damn.
Does he want to burn when he, you know, does he want it to burn when he pees? That's the issue in Vegas.
According to Hunter Renfro, that was the issue in San Francisco. He's always talking about how Jimmy's got the clap.
Oh, geez.
I love it. Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like someone older behind him, like again, like if like an Andy Dalton needs a home, if Jacoby Brissett is knocking on somebody's door, like, you know, definitely somebody, you know, an upgrade over Skylar Thompson and Bridgewater. Like, obviously that didn't get it done, right? So that's something that they're going to have to focus on. I don't think that we need to be worried about him being on the move, especially in kind of like a bullish quarterback market. Like, there's going to be, I feel like, a big shakeup at the position next year. Yeah, a lot of teams. I got the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, potentially the Bucks if Tom moves on, potentially the Giants if DJ Dan Jones doesn't come back, your Washington Commanders, the Raiders with Carr gone, the Jets, the Colts, the Texans. I mean, am I missing anybody else?
Did you say the Panthers?
I did. Yeah, I said the Panthers. I'm assuming Lamar's going to wind up staying in Baltimore. But somehow, if that doesn't shake out correctly, then you're going to have to throw Baltimore on that list and, you know, shake out Lamar anywhere in those destinations I just mentioned. So, yeah, I mean, there's going to be a lot of available spots. Going to see some very aggressive moves, I feel like, in free agency, potentially even trades, dare I say. So, what was your grade on him? On Tua?
What did I say? 3.5?
Yeah, we both are three. Yeah. Both are at 3.5. Okay, let's move on. Next up is Lamar Jackson. Super disappointing season. Super disappointing.
Started off as hot as can be.
Yeah, started off as, like, you know, Lamar do. Was it 3-3-4 passing touchdowns in his first three games with just 2 interceptions? And I'm not even talking about the rushing upside. I'm not. You know, he had a great start to the season, but, like most years, didn't stay healthy. Yeah, in 2 of those games, he had rushing touchdowns. And in 2 out of the first 3 games, he also had over 100 rushing yards. Like, cheat code when he's healthy.
Yep.
What's your rating on him given the health status season long, the start that was, you know, nice, finish that was not great?
Start was awesome, right? I mean, obviously, he was just right on a 5-star path, you know. Like, he was amazing. Overall, I'm gonna give him a 3. I think the games that he played, he was serviceable enough to be obviously a top tier quarterback, right? Like, I think honestly the injuries and, you know, stuff that happened or surrounding that and contract issues and all that, you know, I feel like we never really got the full story as to why he was sitting out so much and whatnot. You know, is it stuff to do with his agent? Was it really just an injury? Who knows? But I mean, when he was in there, he was very valuable. You're still going to find him valuable no matter where he goes due to the rushing floor. So, yeah, I'm going to give him a 3, but I think that's just a little bit of an unfair evaluation due to all the weird circumstances that just happened to surround him throughout the year. Plus, you want to talk about another team that has dog shit for their wide receiver core? I mean, is it. As soon as Bateman went out, they had nobody else. I mean, DeMarcus Robinson, I mean, it was terrible. So, you know, honestly, I think he could be much better. You know, whether that's here with the Ravens next year or that's somebody else. I mean, how fun would it to be if Lamar went down to Miami? Lamar with those two guys?
Yeah, no, that would be awesome. I was thinking the Raiders. I would love to see him with Davante Adams. I'd love to see him with Darren Waller, i.e. Waller comes back. Renfro would be nice, but he would just be kind of like, you know, similar to what he's been working with, just kind of average.
Yeah, just because of what he wants contract-wise, I feel like he needs to go to a team that already has established wide receivers, because no one's going to be able to pay somebody additionally outside of Lamar, because he wants a fully guaranteed contract. He wants this and that. You know, I saw that there was people saying, like, Lamar should go to Washington. I don't personally like that, because...
Why? That's a huge upgrade over what you've had.
Yeah, but he has so much money that would be coming towards him. We wouldn't be able to sign Daron Payne. Like, there'd be other issues outside of that. So I don't personally want somebody that's going to cost that much. That's
you'll
still
find the next Daron Payne. You'll have Chase Young coming back healthy. generational defensive end.
Payne's been fantastic, man. I don't want them to have to do that. So that's what I'm hoping, is that he steers clear of there. But I do think that he could be very, very valuable going to a couple of these teams that might have some vacancies available here. But yeah, I mean, overall, three, I think that's, you know, about fair for him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know if I would see him getting traded in the AFC. I mean, the Jets are also interesting. The Raiders I'd mentioned. I feel like, man, I kind of like the Commanders now, the more that I think about it, just like their offense, their weapons that they have, adding Lamar to that group.
If Brady leaves, could he go to Tampa?
Sure. I mean, why not? Why not? Godwin, Chris Evans, Mike Evans.
Do the Cowboys get rid of Poopy Dak?
No. What? Why? No. What? No, they won't get rid of Dak. He threw the most interceptions this year.
Well, also while missing, five games?
That'll do it. But yeah, hey, I don't mind. He was gunning the ball down the field, and the leagues that I owned him in did not punish you that much for an interception, so I did not mind Mr. Decca this year. CMC was still in Carolina, I would be all over that Lamar to Carolina, but that's just not gonna work. Yeah, the NFC teams do not look good, like the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons. Like, I mean, if you want to go do, you know, Mike Vick part two down in ATL, by all means, go ahead.
That'd be interesting. Going to the Falcons again, like a guy who can run the ball. That's kind of what they want, you know, down there. Mm-hmm. I think he could be very interesting down on that turf.
He would sell a ton of jerseys. He would sell a ton of Falcons jerseys. Not that he doesn't already. I mean, what are we talking about here? Yeah, that's it for Lamar for me. I mean, honestly, I'm going to have a really bad review for him. It's about 1.5. I went 2-12 with him in a 14-team league, and I won, I think it was week one, week two, and I didn't win another week. Lamar, thank you, buddy. Yeah, so I'm going 1.5. I just, had a bad experience this year. I'm not adverse to taking him again next year. I won't be against it, but I don't know if I want to take him as like a high asset. You know, I want to definitely get Lamar at a little bit of better value. He's been the guy that people really go to earlier in drafts because of that rushing upside. And we're always talking about it in the offseason about how valuable it is and how lucrative is it in our drafts. I'm just going to have to sit and hold. You know, like I couldn't draft like Lamar over Joe Burrow again. Like you can't be doing that now. All right, next up we have Derek Carr, another quarterback most likely on the move. Derek Carr did not have a very good season. Super inconsistent. 24 passing touchdowns. I'm not sure on the interceptions. I'm going back and forth on my boards here. I mean, the entire conversation here, because we both know that he had a bad year. Like, I'm giving him, again, like a 1.5 stars. He's going to be on the move. He's not coming back. I mean, let's start with the NFC. I mean, we've been talking about these teams already. You know, decent fits. Carolina, Atlanta, the Giants, your Commandos, the Saints. What are your thoughts?
I think I don't want Carson Wentz 2.0 to end up in Washington.
That's fair. I don't think that's an unfair take. I think that's pretty close. Although Carson Wentz has had a little bit more success, I feel like.
I guess, yeah. I mean, I don't think that bringing him into Washington, really does anything for the team, to be honest. Like, he's not a guy that makes other people better around him, and that's kind of what Washington needs at this point. So I don't want him to go there. There's definitely – I don't think Derek Carr should be out of the league by any means. I do think that he's a viable quarterback. No, I think he needs the right fit. He needs somebody who's going to be patient with him, somebody who is going to give him friendly, passing routes to – how do I want to say that? Somebody who's going to make the offense easy for him to run, essentially. You know, people who are going to get open, people who, are reliable. Like, he had Devontae Adams, and then really it was just like a hodgepodge the rest of the year outside of, Josh Jacobs. I mean, Darren Waller wasn't there. Hunter Renfro wasn't there most of the time. And when he wasn't what we saw 2 years ago from Hunter Renfro. You know, Mac Hollins was awesome, but like, that wasn't a guy that really anybody saw being awesome. You know, he was pretty good. So, I don't know. It was just weird. I do see here. So, we had 14 interceptions, 24 touchdowns. He's like a middle-of-the-road guy who's serviceable, but you can't really count on him to lead your team to victory, most weeks. So, I think for this year, grade-wise, I think I give him a I don't know.
I'm going to 1.5. Like I'm going low.
Really?
Low.
You're going that
low? Yeah. He wasn't serviceable. He wasn't. No, there was a few weeks where he was okay. Right. Like, let me take a look here. Yeah. He had 1 week where he threw over 2 touchdowns, just 1 week. Like, okay, that's great. And that was in week 15. If you somehow started him that week, good for you. But like knowing when to start him was super difficult. Another decent game. Actually, I guess there was 2 games. He had over 2 touchdowns against Seattle. Okay. Great matchup. Right. The other one was against New England, you know, stick tap there, Derek Carr. Nice job.
Yeah. I mean, he had 7 top 12 finishes. That's not great, but I'd say that's serviceable.
How did he do that?
I mean, per Fantasy Pros, I'm looking at weekly finishes here. He was week 2, 11. Week 3, 6. Week 5, 11. Week 9, 9. Week 10, week 11 and 12, 10 and 10. And week 15, 10. So 7 weeks out of the year. You know, that's not great. I mean, obviously, when we draft a quarterback, we're drafting somebody that we would like to start every single week, right, as our first guy. Derek Carr was probably not a first guy for somebody. So, you know, again, I think he was serviceable because he was a QB2 drafted that way. But, yeah, I mean, it wasn't somebody who was, you know, lighting up every single week by any means. But
right.
I would say
people were also higher on him this year than years past because of the Davante Adams connection and his emergence in the offense. So, I'm looking at, you know, because again, we were taking like Dan Jones, we're giving him a high grade because we didn't expect anything from him, right? Derek Carr, we were expecting QB1 numbers. Like we were expecting a potential top 8, top, you know, even top 6 finish. I know I said it for sure. He definitely had top 5 potential. I know I've said that multiple times last offseason because you look at what they were building around him, you know? And if you were going to tell me, oh, hey, you have these guys around him. And by the way, Josh Jacobs is about to have a career year, just so you know. Like, if you had mixed all that in, like, you would have been like, oh, yeah, absolutely, he's going to be a top 5 guy. So I'm going really low at the 1.5. Maybe, again, this is just, you know, personal bias. I had him on a couple of spots. I thought he was going to, you know, bring me along. Didn't do it. Wasn't good enough.
I'll give him a 2.25. Like I said, I think he was serviceable enough some weeks for him to be a viable option, but you know, you really had to be lucky on guessing which weeks those are. So I'm not sitting here trying to advocate for Derek Carr by any means, but again, I think he was serviceable at least.
I like the Jets for him. I think Robert Saleh, other than calling nice and easy plays, like you had mentioned, I think that he will be a nice friend to Derek Carr, and they're both a very yes sir, no ma'am, you know, type of couple of guys there, Saleh and Derek Carr. So I think they would vibe well together.
What about in Carolina now that they have who went there? Frank Wright?
I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think he just got hired there. So
the people of North Carolina and Charlotte would eat up Derek Carr. Yeah, he'd blend right in for sure, no problem. I was also thinking the Texans go back where David got started. The family's really close to the situation down there in Houston.
Yeah, that worked out well for him.
that's going to be a toughie for me. And then there's a lot of these other options too. Like we had mentioned, like Tampa or maybe even Green Bay, if they're, you know, Hall of Fame quarterbacks move on, right? If something happened with Matthew Stafford, it sounds like he's going to be back, but you never know. Rams could get involved in there. I also feel like the Titans might move on from Ryan Tannehill as well. Could just be me.
I think so as well. It hasn't really been talked about much, but yeah, I would be on that side of the fence. If I was a betting man, I'd be betting that he ain't going to be there.
And that's another spot where I would like Derek Carr as well. I mean, they're a run heavy team, right? So you don't have to have him be that high volume guy, and he can just make some plays to, you know, Treylon Burks, and you know, they'd have to go get somebody. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's not going to be ideal.
Yeah, and again, I think the problem with Derek Carr going there or going to any of these places that don't have like superstars there, like you have Derrick Henry in Tennessee, and that's it, right? Derek Carr is not a guy to make other people better. So I fear that's the problem, is Derek Carr needs to go somewhere where there's already some established dudes, you know, that don't need him to make them better. They just need him to get them the ball. So I'm not sure Tennessee would be a good fit for him due to that reason alone. But yeah, I mean, I do agree with you. I don't think Tennessee sticks with Ryan Tannehill.
One last one I'll throw you here. What do you think about Kenny Pickett versus Derek Carr. You think the Steelers would move on from Kenny or just let it ride?
Nah, I think that they're letting it ride. They took him for a purpose.
So I'm thinking too.
I also think he sells more jerseys up there than Derek Carr would.
Yeah, they're a loyal group there in Pittsburgh. let's hit a quick word from the sponsors. What do you got up for us?
Yeah, let's see here. We got WynnBET up on here. WynnBET is the official online sportsbook of the Sports Gambling Podcast Network. WynnBET is active in a bunch of states, and there are a ton of ways to win, including live betting and same-game parlays. The NFL playoffs are here. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer. Bet 100, get 100. Limited to state availability. And of course, if you hit the biggest long shot parlay of the week, you get a $1,000 free credit. There's so much to choose from. All you have to do is head over to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WynnBET so they know we sent you. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/WYNNBET. Offer subject to change, terms and conditions at WynnBET.com. Must be 21 or older and present in the state where playthrough WynnBET is available. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem, please call 1-800-522-4700.
All right, and we're back. We're talking about Andrew's favorite person, Dak Prescott.
He won me an ultimate bet. That's right. Plus 5,000 odds before the season started for him to throw the most interceptions. I thought that was dead in the water as soon as he got injured, but no. The ultimate fuckery. He came back, still threw a shit ton of interceptions. Love to see it. It was probably one of my favorite bets I've ever won just because of how much shit I had to go through the season. Like, man, this dude gets hurt. I'm never going to... I did have Kyler as well, but...
There's always those bets where you're just like, you know, can I get like an additional plus 200 for this sweat out that I'm pulling right now? You know what I mean? Like, I was watching some hockey last night. I'm just like, man, this is aggravating as hell. Like, I should get another plus 100 for having to sit here and watch this madness. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was just ultimate win by me with the old Dak interceptions. Again, I thought it was dead in the water. So that was the only thing Dak's ever done good for me outside of give us those two final plays, the last two playoffs. You know, this last play where Zeke gets blown up, amazing. Last year where Dak ran out the clock on ultimate collapses by the Cowboys, and I love to see it. But, you know, for fantasy purposes, Dak was, in the games he played, okay, right? Hit or miss. I'd probably give him a 2.5, you know, average. He was okay. Wasn't great. Had some games where he was very good. Had some games where he was pretty bad. So, you know, if he cleans up the interceptions, you know, and they get a better wide receiver two in there for him, mm-hmm. I think he can be pretty good. You know, I hate to say it, but the offense runs through Dak. It no longer runs through Zeke. As we can see, Zeke sucks. Pollard, now that he's injured, you know, is he going to be even ready for the beginning of the season next year? That's up in the air. Dak might have to shoulder a lot of the work. So I think honestly next year, depending on how all this shakes out with the injury and you know, what they add or take away from them, Dak could be a good candidate to pick up early in the season and then trade away. Like after like 3 or 4 weeks of being good, you know, you could probably get a pretty good ransom, you know, for him. Again, I think they're going to have to pass the ball a lot if Pollard is injured, you know, and doesn't start the year next year. But I mean, overall, again, Dak had some decent games. I'm trying to pull up his stats here. I wanted to look at a few things.
So out of 11 starts, he only had 3 games where he threw less than 2 passing touchdowns. You're 1,000% right. Like, he just needs to clean up the interceptions. And, you know, he'd have a 4-star season, really. Also needs to throw more touchdowns. Like, come on. Like, obviously, yeah, he played, what, 5 or 6 less games. So that doesn't help. So 23-11, it's not bad. You're pretty much, you know, right on that, you know, 2 touchdowns a game mark. So you just like to see, you know, longer season, better health, and maybe another a weapon around him. Because, yeah, it doesn't look like Tony Pollard may be ready to start next season. Let's, you know, knock on wood for him now. We've seen, you know, turnarounds in the offseason. James Robinson, everyone had written off, you know, this offseason. But he was running straight line sprints in June, right? So, you know, if you don't completely have your ear to the ground, you might miss something like that. I'm pretty sure everyone's going to be all over Tony Pollard. So I'm sure we'll get something at some point on him. Dak, I'm going to give a 3 this year. Highs, lows, so always, you know, somewhere in between, I feel like, for most weeks. But, you know, he had a lot of big weeks for me specifically. Let's see, weeks 15 and 16 were big, especially in fantasy. Those are huge in the fantasy playoffs. Had back-to-back weeks with 3 passing touchdowns. He didn't do that at any other point this season. So, you know, he had his moments where he came up big, but he also let you down early on in the season and made you play the quarterback game. So I'm going to meet him in the middle. Give me the 3. And yeah, I think he's staying put. I don't need to worry about that.
Yeah. I mean, again, I like to look at weekly finishes because, again, I like to judge a guy on how often they finish as a QB1. You know, if you're going to be starting him in your lineup, again, you want to have a top 12 quarterback. If not, you immediately start off behind everybody else. So out of the games he played, which was, let's see, from week set. So he played week 1, obviously, and then week 7 to 18. He had 6 weeks of a top 12 out of the
11 starts.
Yeah. So again, a little bit more than 50% of the time, he was a QB1. You know, that's good. So again, if he cleans up the interceptions, they get a little bit better weapons around him outside of CeeDee Lamb and Schultz. Mm-hmm. I think that he could be a almost week in and week out QB1. You know, again, I hate to say that, but yeah. And do you think that they do anything with the offensive coordinator this year? Do you think they move on at all there or just keep?
I think Kellen's getting touted for coaching job. So, yeah. That's
the thing to watch out for, right? Is if he moves on. Yeah. If he moves on, who comes in? And, you know, a lot of times we see this new coordinator comes in, new coach comes in. It's not bang, bang right out of the gate. So, you know, keep that in mind moving on to next year that if they do move on from Kellen Moore, that there could potentially be some hiccups for Dallas straight out of the gate.
That would be interesting. Next up, we have Mr. One Star himself. We're not allowed to give him anything more than this, and this might be doing him a favor. That's Russell Wilson. I cannot imagine Russell Wilson is going to be wearing another jersey other than the Denver Broncos next season. So I'm fully anticipating him coming back. Yeah, I'm not going anything north of one star. And like I said, I think that might be a little too generous. What are your thoughts on him from this year other than he was stinking bad?
I'd give him 1.5. I'll give him a half star.
How dare you?
I'll give him a half star because new team, first time coach.
Mr. Unlimited.
Yeah, unlimited. Yeah,
how can you be unlimited and not be good on every team?
Listen, he, towards the end of the year, whatever happened, he flipped the light switch and started playing better. Not saying that that makes up for the entire shit show of the first part of the season, but Russell Wilson, I think, is still a good quarterback. I think that Nathaniel Hackett absolutely sucked. Oh, come on now. I think Hackett
It's not sucked. A real week. It's like week 1. It's not real.
I mean, he still had to go out there and play. And the game he got injured, the game he got concussed, he was doing awesome. That's fantastic.
True. That's true.
So, I mean, it's just I don't know. I mean, he's such a hard case because, again, I think a lot of the Hackett issues, man. Right? Hackett was an issue. Obviously, they lost Javonte Williams early in the season. You know, he could have been a bigger help to Wilson as well. But Wilson's main problem for me, what I saw while watching these games, was he was just missing dudes that were wide open. He would like look at them, be like, nah, and just look somewhere else. Like, dude, take your read, get the 5-6 yards, whatever, and move on to the next play. Stop trying to be the hero. Like, that was his problem. I think he has a hero mentality, a God mentality a little bit. You know, he's out there
Carson Wentz mentality. Praising
Jesus, which is great. But he better start asking Jesus to help his ass on the football field because he sucked. But with that said, I still give him the benefit
Jesus
of the doubt.
Jesus was listening, buddy. That's what we got.
Yeah, well, yeah. Jesus is like, you know what? I'm going to send you through some trials and tribulations here, season 1, and maybe we'll help you out season 2. So, I don't know. I'm not going to fully fade Russ like a lot of people are talking about doing next year. I still think the team's good. I still think they have good weapons around him. Javonte Williams will be coming back. So I think Russell will be better next year. But obviously Nathaniel Hackett out of town, which is probably good. This could be like the Urban Meyer, you know, thing from last year with Jacksonville. You know, Trevor Lawrence, not good last year. Trevor Lawrence this year, pretty good. Russell Wilson this year, suck. next year, he's could be pretty good depending on who they come in. So
yeah, I agree that next season should be better because there's only room to go up from these numbers. I mean, he's going to have to still be hurt to go lower than the totals that he put up this season. I'm just not impressed, though. Like, I didn't have him anywhere. I mean, there was many of folks on this very network saying he's a top five, top 10 quarterback. Got you, son of a bitch. Got you. No, I was not buying that sauce. I had him at what? I had him at like 15. At 15.
Hey, how many weeks did we say Rodgers was a top five or top 12 QB?
I don't know, two, three.
Two? Oh, something interesting. Bad. How many weeks do you think Russell Wilson finished as a top 12 quarterback?
Two or three.
Four.
Four? The hell?
He had week 17, week 16. So 17 week QB2.
18.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Yeah. 18 QB2, 17, 5. 14, 3, and then...
And four.
Yeah. 4 weeks. He had 4 weeks. That's better than Aaron Rodgers. And we're definitely shitting way more on Russell Wilson than we did Aaron Rodgers. And again, Russell Wilson was probably in a harder scenario than Aaron Rodgers was. Aaron Rodgers has been with the Packers forever, right? Like, Russ just came here and had a new coordinator, new team, new everything. So, again, I don't want to say that we're being unfair to Russell
Rodgers
Wilson.
Also had a 2-to-1 touchdown ratio, 26 to 12.
Yeah.
And Wilson had 16 to 11. Like, it's still they're.
Well, I mean, what does that tell you, right?
I don't know how that happens. Like, oh, Aaron Rodgers was only good the weeks that other quarterbacks were good, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
I got to feel like there's some like fringe numbers there. Like, oh, he finished at QB 13 or 14, like just missed out on it or something.
Mm-hmm.
Like they just had to be like really close. But yeah, I mean, they need to do something. I mean, and like, I'd like Cortland Sutton, but they need somebody that's going to stay healthy. Like same thing with Jerry Jeudy, like both of these guys. Like I guess it's their whole offense. What am I talking about? We already mentioned Javonte Williams. Like, I don't know, man. I don't know if it's just going to be like continuous bad luck with Denver, but they need better pieces around them, especially coaching for sure. I am going to still be very tentative to take him. I won't be completely adverse, but I will, you know, he's going to be at the back end of my rankings. I'm not going to be like super excited to grab him. No. I will buy the narrative that he'll have a better season, but I want someone that's buzzing. You know, I want me some Joe Burrow. That guy.
Mm-hmm.
No Russell fucking Wilson. All right. Next up, we got some real dirty names coming up here. First up, we got Marcus Mariota. Marcus Mariota definitely going to be on the move. I will say that I mean, I'm going to have to give him a 3-star still. I don't think that's an outlandish rating. I think that maybe, you know what? Let's say even 3.5. I'll say even 3.5 because I think 4 is a bit much. But everybody had written him off. Everybody. All the memes, all the jokes about him, you know, playing for Atlanta. He was playing very well to start the season. And I'm not sure if it was just, you know, like him being kind of banged up, you know, the team not really focusing on passing the ball. They were using him as kind of like a run option decoy and, you know, not really just being like a high-flying offense. But the team was putting up points. It was crazy. They were a top 10 scoring team, I think, through the first like eight or nine weeks or something like that to the first half of the season. So I'm going to give him a 3.5. I'm excited to actually see where he goes this coming season. Last year, I said he should have gone to Carolina. It's not so exciting anymore, you know, when your running backs are Dante Foreman and Chuba Hubbard. But I still think that it would be a good fit. It's in the division. So, I'm not sure what's going to happen there because I think he has a 2-year deal. So he's going to have to get traded. Is that right?
Oh, man, to be honest, I'm not sure.
I think he signed a 2-year deal, so I think he's going to have to get moved. I know that he was unhappy with how things finished, you know, down the stretch of the season because he wanted to play.
It says for this year, there's an opt-out in the deal with minimal dead cap space for the Falcons if they do decide to let him go.
Gotcha. So they can let him go, and they probably will, which is fine. Carolina is interesting to me. Wouldn't be crazy to see him again in Vegas with the Raiders, but he would probably be in a backup role there. Also, of course, you know, the Texans, somebody's got to have the job. Somebody's got to do it. So those would be where, you know, the destinations where I could see him maybe falling. What are your thoughts on him from this year and your thoughts on him for moving on to next season?
So, I mean, he wasn't a guy that you wanted to use a lot this year, right? I mean, he just didn't, there was nothing really appealing outside of him having a little bit of a rushing floor. You know, they didn't really have a ton of weapons there that you truly trusted. We all thought Kyle Pitts was going to be the next Tony Gonzalez, and then he shit the bed.
He's a generational tight end.
Yeah, he sucked. It was just plain and simple. They just didn't use him at all. So it was, you know, this team showed us real early that they wanted to run the ball, which obviously does not bode well for starting for a fantasy quarterback, unless that quarterback is Lamar Jackson. So, yeah, I mean, he wasn't somebody who you really wanted to start. I give him about a 2 on the star ranking. You know what? I lie. I'll give him a 2.5. I'll give him a half star because I think he was in a weird situation with this team because they drafted Ridder. You know, they obviously knew that he wasn't going to be the long-term thing. So I didn't think that they really cared throwing him into the wind, you know, towards the end of the season. Like they kind of just totally disregarded any feelings that he may have had. And, you know, he was fine throughout the season. He was okay. He wouldn't have killed you, but I'm looking here, the games he played and started, he has 3, 4, 4 weeks as a QB1. That's okay. We just got done talking about Russell Wilson had the same and Aaron Rodgers had 2 or 3. So, I mean, he was okay. It just, it wasn't a guy that you wanted to start every week. I think in his scenario, again, with the team that wanted to rush the ball a lot, he wasn't somebody that you really wanted to look forward to play. I'm really not sure. I was trying to think while you were just talking here, like what team would I most think he's suited for moving on from the Falcons here? And man, I don't really see a team that I think it's really good for him. Maybe Seattle if they want to move on from Geno, but I kind of think that they're kind of the same.
He would be a good backup to Geno.
Yeah. But I mean, I can't really think of a team that I think he's going to be good on. I honestly don't think he's going to be playing next year in any sort of starting role. I think he could be a backup, but honestly, like I could see him also just not being anywhere in the NFL next year. I mean, I think he's been on teams. I mean, it hasn't worked out yet. He's been fine, but look what happened when he tried to throw the ball.
He had 15 passing touchdowns through 13 games. Mm-hmm. Russ Wilson had 16 through what? The same amount? 17? Mm-hmm. Couple more? I think that he's good enough to still be in the league for certain. I mean, we've seen some bad, bad quarterback play. Like, that's a perfect candidate for a Miami backup. If there's a place where I think he could start, where he would fit the offense well, it's if Aaron Rodgers moves out of Green Bay and he goes and plays for Green Bay. I think that he would fit Matt LaFleur's system very well. It's a run-heavy system. I feel like he would be able to still kind of give life to Aaron Jones's game and A.J. Dillon. And again, like their offense really didn't rely on Aaron Rodgers this season. It was relying on its defense and, you know, putting them into good positions and their run game. So it's not like you have a receiver that's going to just like need a bunch of targets. You have Alan Lazard that's probably on his way out the door. So you're looking at Christian Watson, Romeo Dubes, and, you know, not much else. It sounds like the Falcons.
Who does he make better?
He doesn't make
anybody better. I don't think that would ever
work. Carson Wentz doesn't make anybody better.
I know. I tried telling the Commanders that.
That's what I'm saying.
Like I could have told them that.
There's lots of quarterbacks that don't make the players around them better, but they do enough to operate the offense. I'm not going to sit here and say that Brock Purdy makes players better. Okay. He's playing catch with CMC every week. It's not fair to say that like, he is just like some amazing quarterback, the second coming of Tom Brady or whatever. Like he's not that. He's in a very good system. So like Green Bay, I feel like Marcus Mariota could fit into that system. You know, Carson Wentz, you know, going to the Commandos was, you know, trying to put a square in a peg hole. Like it just wasn't going to work. You know, same thing with Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. Like there's plenty of examples this year, specifically Russell Wilson and the Broncos. We just talked about it, right? Like there's plenty of these examples. Russ Wilson didn't make anybody better this year, but if they bring in the right coach, they get in the right, you know, scheme, that can change. So no, I don't think that Marcus Mariota is like some elite talent by any means, but I think he should be employed in the NFL. Yeah. You know? I want a $50 side bet that he would be a starter this season. And that was last offseason, like the very beginning of last offseason when they said, oh yeah, he's going to hit the market. He's going to dip his toes in the quarterback market. I say he's going to be a starter. I also said he was going to play for Carolina. Carolina, their situation, they would have gladly had him this year.
True. So
they had to trade CMC.
I'll take your $50 bet on Mariota being a starter next year.
Doubling down. Let's go. The last guy still hasn't paid me, so I'm probably, when he finally comes around to paying me, I'll have him just forward you that if I lose. Okay. But yeah, week one, the rule is week one, he has to be a starter. That means he's walking on the field as a starter week one. It doesn't count if he comes in as the backup week one. Doesn't count. Yep. He's got to be
As long as he takes the very first snap week one, he's the starter. That's the bet.
Love it. God, I'm so excited now. So excited. Man,
I better write this down because I'm not going to lie.
I won't forget. No, I didn't forget last year. I was sitting there like watching the news. Like that's what makes the offseason fun. You know what I mean? Like when you're just like waiting for something to land. I was like, oh, he's going to Atlanta. Okay. Desmond Ridder. I like this situation. Okay. And then you got a camp coming around and you're seeing all the blurbs. Who's looking better than who? Marcus Mariota looks like the most confident quarterback in camp. Oh, let's go. Super exciting. Super exciting.
Well,
thank you so much.
You can remember because I can barely remember what I ate for breakfast. So
breakfast, dinner. Lunch. Oh, you can't see it. No, it's an invisible drink. It's an invisible drink.
What does that say? Mountain Dew?
It doesn't say anything. You can't see it. All right, let's move on. Kyler Murray, Mr. Call of Duty himself.
Yikes.
Not moving on. They've already moved on from Cliff. So I'm all but confident that Kyler is going to be sticking around. They committed to him long term, with his new deal. So that, again, doesn't really have any concern for me. More concerned if he's going to be ready to start next season. this season, I guess, I got to give a two. Like he doesn't really do that much this year. How many weeks did he finish as a quarterback one?
Let's see. I was about to pull that up. Four, let's see.
Five?
Week one, 9. Week 2, 6. Week 4, 7. Week 5, 12. Week 7, 10.
Week 5 was 12?
Yes.
Ugh. He didn't do anything that week. That's awful. All right. Sorry. Go ahead.
Let's see. So I said week 7, 10. Week 8, 3. Week 9, 8. Week 12, 4. And then obviously he got hurt first play. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 QB1 finishes out of the, what did he play?
Pretty good.
11 games?
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Yeah, not bad. As shitty as we think he was, and believe me, he looks shitty out there at most times. But again, I mean, you got that little bit of a rushing floor in there. Plus, they like to use him around the goal line to run stuff in. So I think that really helped him. But again, we're judging them on their total points and how we think that they fit into our fantasy narratives. And again, next year, he'll probably end up having a decent amount of QB1 finishes when he comes back. I shouldn't say that because of the injury. We never know what's going to happen. But barring any really bad issues with the injuries, I think he'll come back and be okay. The other thing to watch out for is what's going to happen with Hopkins. Is he sticking around? If not, if he gone, I don't think I'm going to want any part of Kyler Murray, to be honest.
That's what my concern is that D-Hop is going to be gone, and Murray may not be 100% to start this season, and therefore, when I would expect him to be running more, because you may not have, just because you're getting rid of an A1 receiver doesn't mean that you're going to have an A1 receiver just waiting there for you. I think this team is still going to have A.J. Green next year. Take that back. I think he's a free agent. Pretty sure he's a free agent, but you know what I mean? Like it's not a deep wide receiver group. Probably should have just paid Christian Kirk, probably should have just tried to keep him, or do a little bit more, be a little bit more aggressive to keep him on the staff. Cause man, he had a great season this year. Mm-hmm. Can't wait to leave him a review. I'm going with a three for Kyler. I guess it's really just the back end of the season. Like it was kind of a situation similar to Lamar. He started off the season very well and very well, still kind of like, I feel like being generous. Like week three, he had only 314 passing yards, no passing touchdowns, no interceptions. In this league in particular, I'm looking at, he had like 6.8 fantasy points in week 6, 7.11. I mean, most weeks he was pretty reliable for you. Like there really wasn't, a lack of trust factor, but the total product on the season definitely didn't bag you any championships or, any big payouts by any means. So, yeah, I'm going to stick him right in the middle at three. I mean, again, it's really just going to be based on his health. If he's 100% somehow by week one, then, yeah, I think he'll be running around a lot. I don't think that they're going to be able to fill that void of DeAndre Hopkins that I'm expecting to, come to them, this offseason. So I feel like the offense will be more focused around him, probably the run game, and you know, he'll probably be somewhere in like the back end of quarterback one range. I couldn't see myself drafting him as 6, 7 or higher. I don't know about that.
Yeah, I pretty much agree with everything you had said, and I do think that I'll have him probably towards the back end of my QB ones. Again, it really depends on what happens with who they hire for the coach. What happens mm-hmm. with Hopkins? You know, do they do anything better in the run game besides James Conner? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, it's we really got to wait to see what happens with the injury and how he's right. progressing. I mean, it's right. it's so hard to say right now. But from this last year, yeah, I mean, I would say probably like a 2.75 for him. He was good. Like he had good games. He just didn't really look good out there. He wasn't like inspiring. Wasn't somebody I really wanted to draft. It would have been somebody I just settled for. Like, mm-hmm. that's not really somebody I'm looking for. When somebody doesn't play, and you know, this was something I said a lot this offseason when I was doing underdog shows with Emerson, and we were talking about, you know, good values and who goes where and who we want on our team. And like, I was saying this when I said about Mike Thomas, and I'll say it for Kyler Murray. He doesn't look like he wants to be out there and play. I don't mm-hmm. want somebody on my teams who I don't think wants to be out there, because then they're not going to give it their all. So Kyler was one of those guys. I just kept looking at him. He just, I don't know. He looks like he pisses and moans too much and just looks like he's like a, I don't want to say a diva, but he needs to get his way. And it's just, oh, it right. pisses me off.
No, there's definitely that little league attitude from him for sure. You know, the kid with the puppy eyes at the end of the bench asking like, can I just go out and get one more at bat? Like, no, what are you talking about? Like, you got like three people ahead of you. They said that I could go ahead. No, like, he's got a bad attitude for sure, and I think that was highlighted in the Hard Knock series. I'm not sure if you watched much of that with the Arizona Cardinals. There seemed to be a big disconnect between the coaching staff and Kyler, so it feels like Cliff leaving, a new regime coming in, is going to be just what he needs, but are they going to toe the Kyler line? And I feel like they probably will. The organization just invested quite a bit in him, so I have to imagine that he's going to be highly involved in the recruiting process for the new coaching staff or whatever, the new head coach. He'll be involved with that and, you know, be a part of the OC interviews, et cetera, and all that. So I think he's going to play a big part of what they want to do, because they're trying to build the team around him. So again, like, it's not a terrible situation to go into for next year, but it's certainly not someone that you're just like, give me some Kyler Murray right away. Like, it's nothing like that. And I do feel like when you do draft him next year, you're kind of going to be biting your thumb, white knuckling a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, you may not feel completely satisfied with it, but you'll be like, we got a quarterback. He can throw, he can run, whatever happens, happens. So it's yeah. not going to be something you're telling your friends about. All right, next two we're going to do we're going to pair them up here. Davis Mills and Andy Dalton. I think from their seasons this year, we're looking probably at anywhere from 1 to 2 stars, and we're probably looking at backups somewhere for next year. Anywhere where you could imagine, well, I guess Mills, he'll just be a backup in Houston. I cannot imagine that they're going to give him the reins again. I think in this market that they would, you know, they would get involved in either free agency or maybe even drafting someone. But Mills did not, fit the mold this year. People are a little bit higher on him from his play at the end of last season. What are your thoughts about these two guys? In my opinion, they're both backups going into next season. At least their quality of play.
Agreed. Yeah, Mills will be lucky if they want to keep him there. Honestly, they could get Marcus Mariota as a backup and draft Stroud or draft somebody else. So
right.
He'll be lucky to still be there. But yeah, I fully agree with you. Dalton and Mills both going to be backups. I think they both are probably in the 1.25 range for me of stars. Mm-hmm. Neither one were all aspiring. We and I fell into the trap too. Davis Mills looked decent at the end of the previous season. And I'm like, okay.
And in the preseason, but again, you know, it's preseason.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it is what it is, but.
Yeah, I fell into the Mills trap. Like, I thought he was going to just be much better, and it did not take very long for him to show us that he was just not it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, again, I think both of them, you know, about 1.5 stars. Andy Dalton had glimmers of being okay, you know, being old Andy mm-hmm. Dalton, but ultimately he sucked, man. But he did give us one of the best slow-mo videos of the season where he threw that pick six against the Cardinals. Mm-hmm. And he's walking back like, and he's like doing one of these maneuvers, and the guy's diving behind him, like doing a flip into the end zone. One of the best short videos I've seen from the NFL in a while. Like, that's awesome. Was amazing. So, you know, hats off to Andy Dalton for giving us that. But, yeah, I mean, both of them, not inspiring, not somebody you're going to want to draft whatsoever, whether they are in a starting position or not. Mm-hmm. Honestly, if I was coaching staff, I probably wouldn't have either one of these fools on a team, but that's just me. Yeah, I mean, it's just
you got something there with Mills and at least his age. Like, you know, if you're a coach and you're a scout and you believe like, hey, like, you know, this kid could work in our system, we can build around him, or just bring him into camp and let him compete. Cause that's what I see for both of these guys is, you know, Dalton, probably a backup. Like, I think that he could be a serviceable backup anywhere. Anyone, he could come in and play 1 to 2 games for any team, in my opinion. Beyond that, you're asking a little bit too much. Like, you know, this isn't going to be someone that's going to go out and win you a handful of games. But, you know, somewhere like Carolina, if they get a young quarterback and you just want them to sit the bench and be that kind of player coach, I could see a similar situation in Pittsburgh. If they want to just bring in someone with a little bit more veteran leadership, that's a good spot, I think, for Andy Dalton coaching up Kenny Pickett. Not saying I see similarities to their game, but I, you know, I feel like they would, you know, it would be a good combination, good teacher student type of scenario. I was going to say the Patriots, but Bailey Zappe, baby, bring me some Bailey Zappe next year. Run it up.
Yeah. Speaking of shitty quarterbacks, Carson Wentz, do you think he would be okay in Carolina?
No, I don't think he'll be okay anywhere. What I think Carson Wentz will do was, who would you describe it as playing hero ball? Was it Murray?
Hero ball?
Who was playing hero ball? Who was just playing out of control?
Russ.
Yeah, Russ. I mean, that's Carson Wentz to a T. Like, oh, why throw it out of bounds when I can run 20 yards even farther back than the line of scrimmage, and I could maybe try a throw back there because there's no one back there but me. Like, yeah. he runs himself into terrible scenarios and situations all the time, whether he's forcing the ball, whether he's holding on to it for too long, whether he's trying to make some, like, left-handed play thinking he's, like, Patrick Mahomes or something, you know, like, no, he's not going to be good anywhere. The best landing spot would probably be the Raiders, I feel like, right now, based off of offensive scheme, the talent available. Jump in if you think there's anywhere else. Maybe
Seattle.
I feel like they're just going to continue to ride with Geno. I don't see them moving off of him. He proved himself. He was given an opportunity. They asked him to be the guy. They brought in just Drew Lock in that trade. That's it. Like, it's not like they did anything to challenge him this season as far as, like, you know, adding another veteran or, you know, Drew Lock was never going to push him out of the spot. You know what I mean? You can say that they were competing all you want in camp, but he was never going to do it. And he was a top 10 QB this year. So the only way that they move on from Geno, in my opinion, is if they just use a draft pick and the draft pick comes in and just wins the job, just is the better guy. And then from there, you know, you just have that rookie on a short leash. That's it. You know, if he was somehow to overtake Geno, I don't think that they would spend or trade on the position. I think that would be a decent scenario. You got a good young running back in Kenneth Walker, solid receivers in Metcalf and Lockett. So yeah, I mean, I think it's a great scenario for any quarterback. Just think it'll be Geno.
Yeah. Anything to bring up? Speaking of Ken Walker.
Anything to bring up? Oh yeah, fuck, we forgot. We're giving away a Ken Walker jersey right now. You just need to go and drop a review on Spotify or Apple. Leave a 5-star rating and be sure to let us know who you're going to take with your 101 Dynasty pick. We're interested in hearing some feedback from folks on where they're at right now with their startup picks, who you're taking at the 101. So go to the Fantasy Football Podcast on Spotify or on Apple, leave a 5-star review, and let us know which player you want to take at the 101. And in about 2 weeks, probably the Super Bowl. Yeah, the Super Bowl, we'll go ahead and we'll do the drawing. That Sunday should be a lot of fun. We'll give away that Ken Walker jersey, and we're going to keep the giveaways coming throughout the offseason. So, yeah, just leave a review. It also just really helps, too, if you just, like, tell us you entered because it's very difficult to track people down. I think it took me about 2 weeks to track down the winner for the Leonard Fournette jersey, or not the Leonard Fournette, the Shaq Leonard jersey. Excuse me, getting confused. So yeah, sometimes it can take a while to get y'all, you know, lined up or respond to me either in the Discord, on the Twitters, on the YouTubes. So it really just helps, you know, if you want to get your prize, we don't have to come find you. Appreciate that, Andrew. We totally forgot.
Sure thing, man.
Totally forgot about that. Oh yeah, Ken Walker, by the way. Yeah. Isn't that, remember that thing? All right, next guy up here, definitely a hot name this offseason, going to be Jimmy Garoppolo. He looked really good this year, in my opinion. I got to give him a 4-star just off of all the Trey Lance love. Everyone was sucking this dude's dick left and right. Like, he's going to be the guy, the big arm, the running ability. I wanted no bit of Trey Lance whatsoever. He was one of my big, big overdrafted candidates last year. He was getting moved up the boards. He was being drafted like inside the top 6 rounds way too often. And that's in super flex formats, of course. Like, people were way too high on him and he couldn't last. We see Jimmy come in and he was the same Jimmy that we've seen. He was very reliable. Honestly, if he was still in the lineup, he'd be going to the Super Bowl, I feel like. Or damn close. You know what I mean? They still got to take care of business against the Eagles, but I'm predicting that the 49ers are going to win that game. So there it is. Like, he could be going back for a rematch with Patrick Mahomes. He could be, you know, going on to take, you know, potentially Joe Burrow on. Like, I feel like he was in a good scenario. It's a very good team. It's a very good offense. The scheme is great. It's perfect for a game managing QB, which Jimmy Garoppolo is. And so is Brock Purdy. It's working out pretty well. Jimmy, he's going to definitely get a deal this year. Where do you think he's going to go? And what's your rating?
Oh, man. I give him a 3. I mean, again, like, he's kind of like a game manager. Like, he reminds me of an Alex Smith. He's not a guy that's going to really go out there and make it win for you, but he's also really not going to piss the game away too many times. He did only have 4 QB1 finishes throughout the year. But again,
out of how many games?
Let's see. He had 11 games and he only had 4 QB1 finishes. Mm-hmm. So not great, but he really didn't kill you. Like, looking at his numbers here, he's just not a guy that's going to get like a shit ton of touchdowns. Right. But he's also not going to throw a bunch of interceptions either. God bless you. So yeah, I mean, I think he was fine. I think a 3 is a fair evaluation on him. I am of the side that he needs to go into a scheme that's going to really work for him, or else he's going to be dog trash. I think that he fits very well with the Shanahan scheme. I think that he can, you know, do what Kyle asked of him, and that's what makes him a good real life quarterback. Mm-hmm. Fantasy purposes, though, he's not going to light it up. It's not somebody I'm really interested in. His best finish of the year was QB5. He had 3 QB9s. Those were all the QB1 finishes that he had. So, I mean, I just don't think that he's going to be a guy I'm going to target no matter where he really goes. I was trying to think, though, like, where do I think he could really actually be beneficial outside of the 49ers? Man, like, Colts, depending on who goes. I mean,
Colts again, and your Commandos are my top picks.
I don't want him. So you can just completely wash Commanders from your mind. Colts could be interesting. You know, they have a good defense.
Terry would love them.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't love them. I love Terry, but you know what? I spend my hard-earned money on that team, all right? I don't want him, all right? I don't want Carson Wentz. They better listen to me. They better listen to me version 2 here. So, yeah, I think Carolina's interesting with Frank Reich now. I think that he could get a good, simple system for Jimmy G. And also, you know, like you said, the Colts. The Colts is very interesting as well. Good defense, good run game. I think that's what Jimmy needs to be successful with. Obviously, Michael Pittman there, you know, who has pretty good hands as well. So I think it really has to be a good fit for him. But I don't really think purposely, you know, next year I'm going to be drafting really any of Jimmy G if he is, you know, on any of these teams. He's just not somebody I think is going to win me weeks. Like, I want to get one of those top guys for a purpose. I mean, we saw this year, what happens if you have a good tight end and a good quarterback, you have such a far leg up on everybody else because of how not deep those positions are, as opposed to how deep running back and wide receiver can get. So I think honestly, you really want to hit on these guys, and Jimmy G is just not a guy that I believe in really.
Mm-hmm. The reason why I like the Colts is because I think they need a game manager. They went after Matt Ryan, who's just bad. I mean, yeah, you can say he's a game manager, but he's just losing the game more than managing it. And then you had Carson Wentz, who was just trying to do everything but win the game, literally just, you know, doing everything he absolutely can to move his team backwards, you know, trying to make the craziest plays to win it all. You know, kind of a selfish player. And more and more I think about it. Jimmy Garoppolo going to be that game manager. I think you have those types of players and weapons in that offense where you just need somebody that's not going to turn over the ball and being able to get the ball in your best player's hands. Jonathan Taylor, Michael Pittman, right? So I feel like it's a good opportunity for him there. Also, Indianapolis, not that far from Eastern Illinois. That area, like you're either a Bears fan or a Colts fan. You know, there's not really, you know, now that the Rams are out of there, you know, it's really not, you know, it's pretty wide open for those two teams. So I feel like the Colts can make a push. I feel like it would be a good landing spot for them. And it's also not a move that where the Colts are going to get like killed in the media. You know what I mean? Like it's Jimmy Garoppolo. Like, you know what I mean? We kind of like lowered the bar a little bit, like Super Bowl, quarterback, Matt Ryan, you know, or Carson Wentz. He went to the Super Bowl, but he didn't get to play in it, you know, whatever. So I feel like they were always kind of chasing like, you know, quote unquote, a big arm or a decent name. I feel like Jimmy Garoppolo, you ain't going to piss too many people off with that.
Yep.
Last two here. We're going to do this one as a double again. Mac Jones and Ryan Tannehill. I'm going to give Mac Jones a 2.5 and Tannehill a 2. They just were not very serviceable for me in fantasy this year. They're not assets that I own a lot of. I think I have Tannehill still as like my third or fourth QB on one dynasty team. I don't have Mac Jones anywhere. So definitely no personal bias here. They're just not guys that I'm going to be interested in going forward. They're barely squeaking out the, you know, top 24 quarterbacks. And these guys, you know, they played a good amount of games this season still. So Mac Jones was missing early on. Bailey Zappi had a little moment there, but he came back and, you know, it was his job, you know, pretty much immediately, even with how well Bailey Zappi played. I'm not sure what's going to go on there, if there's going to be some type of competition. But honestly, I thought Zappi was just as impressive, if not better. And Tannehill, it's like, I mean, dude, it's over. Like, just pack it in. I think they should move on from him personally.
Agreed. Yeah, Tannehill needs out. Mac Jones was okay. I actually was surprised to see that Mac Jones, in the games that he started, he has 1, 2, 3, 4 QB1 finishes. Mac Jones. That surprised me. I thought I was going to see maybe 1, 2. He just, again.
How many did Bailey Zappi have?
I don't know. I can't see. I'll have to go look. See if I find that here. I would give Mac Jones 1.75 and a Tannehill a 1.5. I think they both not inspiring. Neither one of them has a really good rushing floor by any means. Neither one of them, I think, can get you. You're not going into the week thinking, man, I can't wait for this dude to throw 3 touchdowns. Like it just doesn't happen very often. Like, you know, like you get with Mahomes or Hurts or those guys. Like that's the difference, obviously, between the top tier guys and down here is you're not going in expecting as much either from them. So,
man, Zappi was 1 out of 4, by the way. I think I'm pretty positive he finished as a QB1 in week 6 and week 5. He went 2-1 on the year. He shut out Detroit. Detroit was pretty good this year. Just saying, like as far as like an offense goes, shutting them out, that's pretty interesting. They beat Detroit 29-0. He had a passing touchdown and an interception. The following week, I'm pretty positive he finished as a quarterback 1, 24 for 34, 2 yeah. passing touchdowns, 309 passing yards.
He was QB10 the week that you're referring to.
Yeah, and then he was bad up against Chicago, which, I mean, Bailey, come on, buddy. It's the Bears, buddy. Come on, man.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I don't think Mac Jones is going anywhere. I think he's still the guy next year for New England. But it's not somebody I'm going to be drafting at all. Again, like I don't see the path of where this dude can throw 35 touchdowns. Like there's just not a path for it. He has no rushing floor either. It's not somebody I'm eyeing up whatsoever.
They trade a first round pick for DeAndre Hopkins.
No, because I still can't trust who the hell's the offensive play calling was abysmal this year. You could have fucking DeAndre
I'm not a Bill
Hopkins.
O'Brien fan. You won't hear me say nice things about him.
I mean,
so.
Listen, shout out Penn State. I watched Bill O'Brien there for a little bit. I watched him like he Yeah, Bill O'Brien is not inspiring to me whatsoever. So I don't like that move. And I don't think it's going to be very good year one for Mac Jones. Could it potentially be okay down the road if they say, you know what, man, you're our guy at least the next 3 years? Could it be okay in year two and three? Maybe, depending on what moves they make. But this year, I don't really care who they get. I don't think it's going to work out for them, really. So yeah, I'm going to be staying away from Mac Jones. His less than 2-star review for me is not something I'm going to go eat at again.
Yeah, I'm at a 1.5, and yeah, I'm certainly not taking out any more Mac Jones. I think there are scenarios where, you know, he could have big weeks, but he's just not going to be a high target draft asset in fantasy for next season and long term and in dynasty formats. Like, you just sell. He's just a sell candidate for me. If you can get, you know, a decent pick for him, I'd be willing to do that, especially if you have a healthy stash of quarterbacks. Target somebody that's, you know, working on some potential retirees coming up, guys like that, you know, Stafford owners. If somehow someone in your league is starting Ryan Tannehill or Dalton, like, you definitely need to target maybe a Mac Jones trade to them. Even the Tom Brady owner or Aaron Rodgers owner, like, clock's a ticking. All right, that is a wrap on our reviews here. Do you have anything you want to add in before we head out here?
Just want to remind everybody, please go join us on Facebook, you know, like the page, subscribe, you know, like this video. If you haven't subscribed I meant YouTube. Did I say Facebook?
Yeah.
I meant YouTube.
I was like, we don't have one of those.
Ah, that's funny. Yeah, no, I meant YouTube. Sorry, there's an ad for Facebook on Fantasy Pros, which is why I saw it. But yeah, so on YouTube, you know, make sure you guys subscribe. I'm going to proposition this to you here real quick on the fly, but if anybody new subscribes, could they also be entered in for the Ken Walker? I know we're looking for reviews, but if they subscribe and screenshot it and send it to one of us as a new subscriber,
I'm down to clown.
Add
them
in there too. All right, let's do that. So subscribe if you already haven't. If you are subscribed, please go on and leave a review. Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. If you guys want to screenshot it and send it to us, you know, just as verification as well, I think, as Justin alluded to, would be a lot easier. That way we can get at you guys much easier as well if you do win the Ken Walker jersey. So, I think that's probably the best bet. You know, either DM one of us. If you're in the Discord, hit us up on the Discord, tweet at us, whatever the case may be, you know, DM us. So, you know.
Did you see me hitting up dude for like 2 weeks? I was like, hey, where you at?
Yeah. Is that what that was at? In the Discord? Who was that? The CD guy, right?
Yeah.
I honestly thought it was like a buddy of yours. And you're just like, hey, man, like, what's going on? And he just was like totally ghosting you.
No, I was just like, man, like, this guy won the jersey again. And like the first one that we did, I don't remember who the jersey was.
Debo, wasn't it?
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, Debo. So like, we had a winner. And the dude didn't respond within like 4 days. And then the guy got back with to me at like, I don't know, a couple weeks later. He's like, so I'm guessing like there's a new winner. I was like, yeah, man, what the hell? Like, I don't want to have this conversation right now. You're making me feel bad. Like, I didn't want to give it away to somebody else. Like, this dude won, but he never responded. And he was like, I understand. It's no problem. I was like, damn it, man. You shouldn't have even spoken to me. You're making me feel terrible.
Yeah, so that is my last words for everybody. Just subscribe, rate, review. You know, of course, join the Discord as well if you aren't already in there. SGPN Discord. If you need an invite to it or just having a hard time finding it, whatever the case may be, please get at both of us. We are both on the Discord. I think I'm a little bit more in there than Justin since he's a, you know, he's a guy who's behind the scenes. I'm a forefront guy. So hit me up. I'll get you an invite into there. And, you know, constantly talking fantasy football, regular NFL. I mean, you name it. I mean, Christ, we have a sneaker channel. I was checking out the other day. I'm not a big sneakerhead, but I was looking at it and people go just absolutely batshit crazy for sneakers. So it was just fun to look at the other channels, stuff I'm not normally into, and just seeing what they're talking about.
Yeah, the sneaker channel is not always so bumping, but yeah, man, dude, we have a lot of socials. It's just tough to keep up with all of them. We gotta be on the Reddits, the Discords, the Twitters. I'm pretty sure I deleted the Facebook app a while ago. Just like had to do it. Like there's just no room anymore. Sorry, Brooke. Plus, me and Zucks, we're not pals. So
no, he sucks.
Nah, he's kind of a dick. I've had my. I know we had our page. Like the SGPN page was randomly taken down because it was like, oh, you're violating copyright. And I had the same situation with my own personal brand before I came onto SGPN. They don't give you any type of reason. They're just like, listen, you're in timeout. We said you're in timeout. Your timeout's over in 3 days. We're not going to give you any proof or any reason or cause for why this happened. But we'll see at the end of your 3 days. Like, it's like, what? Like, and I had like a friend like contact Facebook and everything, and they're just like, yeah, no details, no info. You'll be out in 3 days. Like, this is bullshit.
Damn.
All right. Take care. Be well. Be good, everybody. If you can't be good at it. We'll see you next week. Take care.
Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring this podcast. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. In hundreds of locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.